Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, taking the necessary measures to guarantee the interests of our clients, employees, and shareholders. We have got that story, plus combat drone production ramps up. But first, DHS shutdown persists as Democrats reject Trump-backed offer. Too long didn't read. American airports are chaos. Senate Democrats have rejected the latest offer from President Donald Trump and Republicans to fund most of the Department of Homeland Security and end a lengthy shutdown that snarled airport security checkpoints and threatened to ripple through an economy already roiled by the Iran war. The Republican plan does not include any of the policy proposals Democrats have insisted on in the fight to overhaul immigration and customs enforcement tactics following the killing of two protesters in Minneapolis by agents earlier this year. Senate Democratic leader and noted joke thief Amy's second cousin, Chucky Schumer, told reporters his party would send off a counteroffer to Republicans, which would include changes to immigration enforcement. Negotiations continue on DHS funding, he said. Senate Majority Leader John Thune said Republican offer would fund 94% of the department, but leaves out $5.5 billion for ICE enforcement activities. He said the bill includes modest ICE changes agreed to long before the standoff, like money for body cameras. But none of the additional changes Democrats have demanded since the DHS shutdown began on Valentine's Day. This is Cokes and Pepsis quibbling over which parts of the police state they like to fund. Nearly half of TSA agents call out at America's busiest airports. Lines stretch for almost 5 hours. Travel chaos worsens if you have to fly. I think everybody's trying to figure out how to cancel it or avoid it entirely. It does not look like a good situation. And I was never a big fan of airports in the first place. Family with deportation order from 2019 arrested at the San Francisco airport before ICE were ever even sent in. And to add to the chaos, the fire truck in the LaGuardia runway collision had no transponder, limiting the tower's ability to track it as the Air Canadian Express jet crashed into it on the runway the other day. James, this is pretty much going to affect the world.
It sure is, because chaos is actually not a bug. It's a feature, right? This is what they are doing. And there's a lot of ways that we can analyze this. You, I think, put it squarely in the right part there. The Coke-Pepsi squabbling over the 9/11-enabled terror industrial complex. The Department of Homeland Security gets half of the population squabbling with the other half of the population about which arm of the terror goon squad should be ruling over people at the airports and treating them like slaves, right? And this has been best encapsulated that I've seen in an article in the dailyeconomy.org. The real lesson of the TSA walkout, with the subhead, bureaucratic incentives turn your frustrations into TSA's leverage, which points out, as a government agency, the TSA's failure is not its problem, but is instead shifted onto travelers, their customers, as it were, who are, in some cases, left waiting 6 hours in line to get through the security checkpoint. In fact, this failure can easily be construed as a benefit for the TSA, which now, because the government requires all passengers to pass through its bottleneck, has leverage to demand more funding. As a result, the destruction wrought by dysfunctional government becomes an argument for more of it, and taxpayers are left with the bill. So yes, exactly as is the game plan for all of these grifts that are going on the federal level. Yes, the failure actually is good for them. It incentivizes their failure because it means more money and more power and more goons at the airports pointing their guns at you and telling you to take your shoes and belts off in the humiliation ritual that is travel these days. So I guess the only question is, James, next time you go back to West Virginia, are you going to be flying or driving?
Well, my gas-guzzling new pickup truck is, that'd be rather expensive trip as well. James, I always heard back in the day, and again, we've essentially been doing this work since this entire police state structure was being constructed under the Department of Homeland Security, under the Patriot Act of everything. I was always told, as legend has it, airports could hire their own private security and didn't have to have the TSA and could maybe have a better, softer touch, as it were. I've certainly never seen and never heard about that in any airport in America. And of course, the conspiracy, they don't want you flying, plebe, stay indoors, shelter in place, get your MAGA jabs and get your boosters and we'll drone you over some GMO foods. they've never stopped terror. The TSA, and again, this is the, you know, they're what, a victim of their own success. They've never stopped any terror events from happening. Not that we want terror events to happen, but they've never thwarted anything real. And they are highly noted as stealing tens of thousands of dollars worth of things from, again, the customers. This is security theater. James, there were times in Portland, Oregon, which has one of the best airports in America, where the, and again, we would always opt out from the naked body scanners anyway. We've joked that my wife's band name would be Female Opt Out, because you can hear them. They have to call that, because they go, oh gosh, we got to get a woman to do this. And usually we're waiting on who's actually going to get patted down first. But there were times at the Portland airport where the naked body scanners were broken and they're just waving everybody through. Damn, that would have been the time to have been a CIA to terrorist. You could have gotten your bomb through. Let us never forget. This is 9/11 plus 25 this year. And that is how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 624. Our second story, America's top war unicorn to begin combat drone production as next-gen startup challenges big defense primes. That's a pretty nerdy headline there from Zero Hedge. And again, everything we talk about always linked up down in the show notes, like weaponized AI, interceptor drones, automated kill chains. I don't know what that is. Ground robots armed with machine guns. I have a pretty good idea what that is. Humanoid robots and FPVs equipped with shaped charges all offer a scary preview of what warfare in the 2030s was supposed to look like. Instead, 4 years of war in Ukraine, followed by the U.S.-Iran conflict, let's not forget our good friends Israel, have sharply accelerated that timeline, pulling the future of warfare into today. These are truly frightening times, as defenses against this technology are still lacking across the West. Amazon found that out with its data centers bombed recently. We warned about this drone threat exactly 1 month before, and I think we've done that right here on New World Next Week as well. Wall Street analysts largely missed it because their framework remained fixated on climate change nonsense rather than properly assessing real-world incoming risks. They get paid big bucks, yet still fail to see the actual threats. On the positive side, the U.S. Department of War, under President Trump, appears to recognize that the modern battlefield is shifting quickly towards low-cost, scalable, autonomous systems. I mean, I'm surprised there aren't Raspberry Pi IEDs. In response, the Department of War's DOGE initiative focused on overhauling its procurement program, moving away from legacy primes such as Lockheed and Boeing and towards a new generation of defense startups or war unicorns, now viewed as national security priority. And that even brings us to Palmer Luckey's Anduril Industries, which is expected to begin production of its new Fury Loyal Wingman high-speed combat drones at a new facility in Ohio next week, of course, for Operation Epstein Furry. Unknown traders, meanwhile, placed over $500 million in bets minutes before Trump claimed productive talks with Iran. And in other wild war profiteering-related news, Volkswagen's getting back in the game, boys. Volkswagen in talks with Israel's Iron Dome maker to shift from cars to missile defense. It's kind of like what Trump did to Kodak. He's like, hey, we'll make weapons for you. And a New World Next Week flashback to over a decade ago to the story, Volkswagen CEO resigns as company crashes into carbon emissions fraud. They went from faking their exhaust fume cleaning to just making a bunch of worse fumes, I guess. But the war has costs. As the cradle notes, Iran begins charging select vessels up to $2 million for Hormuz transit. James, again, I tell you, I've been watching a lot of World War documentaries on YouTube lately just to get myself up to speed in some sad way, I suppose. But can you explain what a war unicorn is?
A unicorn, generally in the business sphere, is a business that makes some incredible amount of money off of its startup, $1 billion or something like that. So usually it's big tech unicorns that people talk about. But now it's war unicorns because ka-ching, ka-ching, let the blood money rain. War is the new grift. Same as the old grift, really. But anyway, it's what's old is new again. And yeah, bring up the world war analogies because at least in the run-up to World War II, or at least the U.S. entry into World War II, most Americans knew that war was a racket, not only because of, you know, Smedley Butler and people like that who had been ringing the alarms on that for years, but because there had been congressional investigations into the war arms manufacturing profiteering that had gone into World War One and America's entry into World War One. There had been big investigations into that, and the American public was at least clued into that, which is why it took a couple of years and a spectacular false flag asterisk of sorts called Pearl Harbor to get World War II into to get America into World War II. Anyway, there doesn't seem to be any reticence on the part of most Americans these days towards the military-industrial complex 2.0, or is this 3.0, or whatever we're on right now. And who is the beneficiary of this largesse? Of course, it's Teal vs. Minion, Palmer Luckey, or Teal himself with Palantir, or the Associated Industries and people like Sam Altman over at OpenAI. Hey, we're not like Anthropic. We'll do whatever you want, Department of War. Just keep the money flowing, and the money will flow. And of course, this is not specifically an American phenomenon. No, it's EU as well. And on the Volkswagen story, I'll point people to a pretty good overview article by Drago Bosnich on that. EU militarizing by turning civilian factories into arms manufacturers, where he picks up on this Volkswagen story and puts it in its context. And of course, it's not just the US-Israel side of this. This is also the other side. Iran and everyone else is going to be trying to make their money out of this, of course, because war costs money. So, hey, if you grease our palms, we might let you skirt by on the Strait of Hormuz, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, of course, every power center in the world benefits from war. War is the health of the state. And the war profiteers are the ones who are going to come along in the state's wake, picking up the blood money that's raining down. So this is the new grift, guys. You thought the whole COVID biosecurity thing was the new grift. No, no, no. You got to be shifting over your production from vaccines to bombs. But maybe in the end, they amount to about the same thing.
Whew. And again, none of this benefits Americans, doesn't benefit Somali Americans, doesn't benefit any regular person. And really, maybe I think lie hop is the term you're looking for, James. I know there's a lot of conspiracy terms that we throw around. Pearl Harbor, the let it happen on purpose event. And I don't know if I linked you guys to it. I meant to. Remind me later if I didn't. There is, because again, once you start watching something on their platforms, like this is what you want. This is what we'll feed you with the algorithm. There's an AI documentary, as most of it feels like YouTube is AI anymore. There's an AI doc on YouTube called, that's right, The World War One Conspiracy. All the AI bots, they're all imitate. Yeah, if you've seen Whitney Webb interviews, those aren't her in the last, several months. It is a pretty big flaming garbage pile. Hey, remember that time Japan attacked China? Whew. Holy moly. Again, going through the World War history documentaries, James, always, always educational. Good grief. Our third and final story. Oh, finally, you talk about something easy like Epstein. French authorities raid Rothschild Bank in Epstein investigation. Sidebar, did they really use a male voice for the Brigitte Macron translation at the Melania technology event today? Good God.
I'm very excited, dear Melania, very enthusiastic about AI, but at the same time, I'm fascinated and worried.
We'll have to put a pin in that and ask Grok West if this is true. The global Jeffrey Epstein scandal is detonating again as French financial prosecutors have launched raids on the prominent Rothschild banking family as part of the escalating investigations into the explosive revelations buried in the late child predators' files. Authorities confirmed searches were carried out across multiple locations, including the Paris branch of Swiss private bank Edmond de Rothschild, named after dude, as part of a widening investigation into potential corruption linked to the Epstein network. The investigation's being led by France's Anti-Corruption and Financial Crimes Unit. France's Financial National Prosecutor's Office said the operation stems from a preliminary investigation into suspected bribery involving a foreign public official. At the center of the probe is former French diplomat Fabrice Aydin. Investigators examining whether Aydin provided sensitive diplomatic material to Jeffrey Epstein, raising serious national security concerns, as of course this was Epstein's main operation, worldwide blackmail. investigators examining whether he provided sensitive documents raising serious national security concerns. The case triggered by a referral from France's foreign ministry following damning disclosures in the newly released Epstein files. French outlet Mediapart reported that Aidan's name appeared in more than 200 documents, including emails sent between 2010 and 2016 from both personal and United Nations accounts. Those communications have fueled suspicions that confidential United Nations materials might have been handed to Epstein, like where the best refugee kids for the Clintons to kidnap are. Aidan has denied wrongdoing, while his lawyer is urging respect for the presumption of innocence. The investigation is also zeroing in on ties between Epstein and the financial elite, you don't say. Reports indicate that Ariane de Rothschild, CEO of Edmond de Rothschild, had a long-held relationship with Epstein beginning in 2013, emails have revealed. The bank has acknowledged that de Rothschild met Epstein multiple times between 2013 and 2019, claiming those interactions occurred in the normal course of her duties. It also insists she had no knowledge of Mr. Epstein's conduct and personal behavior. The institution says it's cooperating with authorities, adding it has taken the necessary measures to guarantee the entrance of its clients, employees, and shareholders. Notably, the bank has provided no details at all about what those measures might actually entail. UK team preparing Andrew Mountbatten Windsor documents for publication. That's, I believe, the artist formerly known as Randy Andy. And right here, Epstein's New Mexico horror house finally being investigated, James. Sometimes it feels like New Mexico is like underground zero for New World Order shenanigans going on. Do we know? Because it's redacted, right? And they did the redactions about as well as they did the Obama birth certificate PDF. But do we know who Epstein sent the, hey, I love the torture video? I was going to joke that he was sending that to the Rothschilds. Good grief.
Yes, we do. And I'm not going to remember the guy's name off the top of my head. Some sultan in Arab states that lost his job, his position as director of, you know, some big muckety muck company. But yes, we do know who that was at this point. I think it was Massey who exposed that particular nugget. So anyway, props where they're due. This is incredible, groundbreaking stuff. Yes, first of all, obviously, what they are reporting right now with regards to the raids and the investigation is a limited hangout by definition. They are taking this Fabrice Aidan guy and making it as if this is what the story is about. But at the very least, this story is the entree into the larger story, which of course includes Ariane de Rothschild of the Edmond de Rothschild Bank banking group. And if people want more of that story, I will point, not for the first time, probably not to the last, to DropSite News' article, Jeffrey Epstein Pursued Swiss Rothschild Bank to Finance Israeli Cyber Weapons Empire, which notes that, of course, yes, Bloomberg was originally, back in 2019, the ones that were digging up the Ariane de Rothschild / Jeffrey Epstein connection, at which point the bank was saying, I don't think there's any. And then they did an internal investigation and found, yeah, she met with them a few times as part of their normal duties, etc. Now, of course, now that we have the emails and correspondence, oh no, they were best pals. They were emailing each other all the time. They were going to Broadway plays together and other such things, as well as, of course, conspiring on a number of issues, including aforementioned Israeli cyber weapons deals, where Epstein was essentially connecting Ehud Barak to Ariane de Rothschild. And this article notes, for example, in October 2015, de Rothschild negotiated a $25 million contract with Epstein's Southern Trust Company, the same entity Epstein used to fund Ehud Barak's intelligence-linked security startup, Reportee Homeland Security, now known as Carbine, earlier that year. There's a lot more to dig in with regards to that. And of course, Epstein's infamous 2016 email to Peter Thiel saying, as you know, I represent the Rothschilds, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, there's a lot more there. And as limited hangout as this is, at the very least, it provides the entree so we can yes and our way into the bigger picture and provide real information to people. That's what we can do about this, because yeah, incredible things that would have been absolute top level news stories in any other era that we've been doing this work is now kind of like, by the way, guys, Rothschild's, being raided, whatever. I mean, talk about a topsy-turvy world.
Any of that, I almost said earlier in the episode, there was a few paragraphs. It was like, imagine reading that paragraph 20 years ago when we were starting this work. But James, let me throw it back to you, just pop quiz hot shot. is this really, and because we'd have the discussion about how many people the COVID scamdemic woke up, is this real? Is Epstein the biggest truth bomb we have ever seen with the most real world results of people actually being fired and actually maybe being prosecuted?
It should be. And yes, there have been a lot of real world results. But I think, you know, I can't help but think that the timing of the whole Iran war is interesting, considering how we have gone from talking about Epstein to not talking about Epstein collectively, the we, all of us, I think. I think there's something to that.
And no one was fired for 9/11. I guess it just feels like there has been a bigger effect from all of this. In related news, I should link up my review on Rothschild the Musical. I discovered years back that there was a Rothschild musical. It's on Columbia Masterworks. I did a whole Media Monarchy episode on it. I will link all that up. Starring Barney Miller. No! Well, remember, Barney Miller has some amazing truth bombs from the show in the 70s. Talked about the trilateral, all that stuff. We run newworldnextweek.com. That is your source for Monarchy and Corbett gear and some of the best ways to support our work. Like getting one of those USBs that has the World War I conspiracy on it. And of course, I run the post office box here in New Mexico. If you don't do the digital money thing or you would like to support either or both of our works, you can, of course, always find the information about the P.O. Box. Make out your checks to Media Monarchy. And I get to play the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes probably about, I don't know, maybe not quite 12 hours before they're published. But you can hear these episodes exclusively on MediaMonarchy.com/listen around Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That is, you know, if you've changed your clocks in these last several weeks, James.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up. Just to put it on the table for people who might be new to New World Next Week. Yeah, I did a documentary several years ago, The World War I Conspiracy, back in 2018. It is available on the 2018 USB archive in audio, video, and textual form. And of course, it's on my website as well. And I hope people will get it. And I did not know there was an AI version that has been slopped into existence to take over and try to muddy the waters. So that's good to know. And I will continue pumping the real information out there against the AI slop bots.
Human authored, remember.
That's there you go.
James, there it is, man. That is
we do, huh?
absolutely. I honestly can see really the world moving more and more and more that way. And just the same way that we should treat anybody we go visit that has a CIA connected listening device in their living room should be treated the same way that we avoid any of this AI at all costs. James, I've kind of been joking on my show. I didn't dive into AI on purpose. I was already in the pool when they started to dump in the AI urine into the pool that I then was like, oh, okay, well, I'm right. See, that's how they do the frog boil as well. Mixing a lot of metaphors there, James, but that is New World Next Week, episode 624, man. Thank you.
Hey, Alexa, order me a dollhouse. We should upgrade that. Hey, Alexa, order me a Bugatti. I don't know. Anyway.
Or order order me one of everything from newworldnextweek.com.
Yeah. Now there you go. We cracked the code.
There we go. CIA, now we're subverting.
Order me a dollhouse from newworldnextweek.com. Anyway, those are some deep cuts for people, and the people who get it will get it. Anyway, James, thanks for the stories. Let's do it again next week.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care, man.